Time now for sports on 104.7 The Cave. Here's Ned Reynolds.
Mike, the intern, Ned Reynolds in the studio. Thank God it's Friday, even though I got the allergies. All right, so the St. Louis Cardinals have one of the worst attended opening weekends in the last two decades. And now there's a report they're actually going to go to the public and ask for more money. Is that right?
Well, it's a report. It hasn't been presented yet, and it may not be within the next calendar year. But one of the small newspapers up in St. Louis, the Riverfront Times, had a story yesterday that said the Cardinals' desire to improve the infrastructure in Busch Stadium. Busch Stadium's 18 years old. It seems like it was yesterday that it opened up. But, hey, time goes, and they want to improve the pipes and the wiring and so forth. Now, this is nowhere near, I mean, not even close to what the Kansas City proposal was. But according to the story, the Cardinals are going to ask for public funding to help out with this. Really? After Kansas City? Doesn't matter how little it is. You want public money for your stadium? Good luck, sports fans.
There's a phrase, read the room. And Mo and the Wits, the Wits need to read the room. You know, it sucks when, speaking of teams moving places, it sucks when, you know, a team does leave a community. But in the case of the Arizona Coyotes, I sometimes forgot that Arizona even had a hockey team. So I'm personally not surprised. What about you?
Hardly. First of all, they are easily forgettable, number one. Number two, they, for the last couple of years, now this is how much they've been taken. When they first came here, they shared the same arena with the Phoenix Suns of the NBA. That's big. That's 16, 17,000 fans, somewhere around there. The Coyotes really wanted their own place, and they made a deal with Glendale, which is a Knicks to Phoenix, level of capacity. And the city of Glendale says, sure, we'll fund a new arena, big-time arena. And the Coyotes were all set to go, and then Glendale backed out of the deal for some reason. So suddenly, within the last couple of years, now this has happened for the second year now, the Coyotes have had to play in Arizona State's new complex. Well, that new complex for hockey, and hockey at Arizona State is the same as it is at Missouri State. It's a club level, but they have an arena that was going to seat 5,000. 5,000 for a National Hockey League game? I don't think so, thank you. So for the last couple of years, the Phoenix Coyotes have been playing in that Arizona State arena, such as it is. It's new, and it's wonderful. It's very modern. But they can only get just under 5,000 people in there. The handwriting's on the wall. So they are moving to Salt Lake City, and probably that move is taking place right now. This season's ended for them. They're not in the playoffs. So Salt Lake City will be the new city for the Phoenix Coyotes. Whether or not they'll be the Coyotes, who knows? But the fact of the matter remains that that's where they'll be.
I think, you know, even with the way the vote went in Kansas City, I think we're starting to show ownership that, you know what, at the end of the day, if we don't show up, it's not yours and we're not going to fund it anymore. So,
And that's a very good point that you bring up, because the owners, in their lack of wisdom, have not listened to some people. And they put all the games on TV, and including the home games. What kind of lunacy is this? Well, it does mean more money in terms of rights fees, but does that take the place of the fans in the stands? Not in my opinion. I think that's a big mistake.
And it's not just hockey or football or baseball. It's all of them. So I think we're starting to see a little bit of a swing of a pendulum, my friend. We'll see what happens. Last but not least, as I mentioned yesterday, even though the Masters happened last week, they're not off this weekend.
They are not. The Heritage Classic at Hilton Head, South Carolina, and to make sure that many of the big names are there, the purse is $20 million. $20 million, folks. That's as high as it goes in the PGA. The winner gets $3,600,000. Well, that means that all the big names are there. All the big names are not leading in this tournament. The Heritage Golf Course at Hilton Head is very tough. It's not easy pickings at all. J.T. Poston is the leader. Now, he's won a couple of times over his 8 or 9 years on the PGA Tour, but hardly what you'd call a big name. He is 8 under par. Seamus Power, who has had some bright moments, a kid from Ireland, is 2 strokes back. And the Masters champ is playing. That's Scottie Scheffler, and he is 2 under par. That means he's 6 strokes back. That's a piece of cake for Scottie Scheffler.
Just give him time, man. Just give him time.
So this tournament has a long way to go.
That's why I like watching Scheffler, especially the last year, the last weekend, just the way he's able to just find that spot, focus in, and move forward. It's really incredible
focus
to watch.
Focus is the key. Yeah. That's what he does.
Yeah, and it's interesting to watch how his game builds over the weekend. And that's really cool stuff, Ned, and also allows me to take more naps. So the Cardinals have finished their second tour of the West Coast. How'd they do this time?
You know, it's rather interesting because in the six games they had out there, they split 3-3, three wins, three losses. But I think of even more, there's a couple of points of concern for the Cardinals for this year. Number one, Mike, they've had six series so far. That's six. They opened up in Los Angeles and then went down to San Diego, then had a couple at home, and they had the ones out in Arizona and Oakland. The Cardinals have failed to win the closing game of every one of those series. Now, I don't know what kind of a record that is, even if they keep a record of that nature, and they keep a lot of them in Major League Baseball. But to lose the final game of every single series doesn't correlate very well. There's an even bigger concern for the Cardinals, and that is Paul Goldschmidt, first baseman. Now, just 2 years ago, 2022, he was the National League Most Valuable Player. Great year. Last year, he slumped, but so did the Cardinals. They didn't play well. Goldschmidt did not have a good year. This year, and this is a free agent year for Paul Goldschmidt. In other words, at the end of the year, he becomes a free agent if the Cardinals don't sign him, and he is 36 years old. He is batting 182. He has a homer and seven RBIs. Boy, that is a meager production, but of the even more concern. He's been to bat 66 times and struck out 22 of those times. That is not Paul Goldschmidt. So the debate is going on now. Is this another slump, or has he reached the end of the line? It happens in baseball, happens in other sports as well, where you can have a meteoric climb to the top and be a most valuable player, and suddenly it declines very rapidly. And you wonder, is this happening to Paul Goldschmidt? He's too good a guy to admit something like that, but his batting, not necessarily the number of hits, but the way he's been swinging, popping up a lot and things of that nature, and striking out, has to be a point of concern for the Cardinals. He is a free, or will become a free agent at the end of the year. What do the Cardinals get for a free agency? If he goes free agent, well, maybe a compensatory pick or something like that. But the trade deadline in July, might he be available if the Cardinals are not in the running? So a lot of concern for them.
On the other side of the state, however, don't look now, but the Kansas City Royals have a higher winning percentage than the LA Dodgers at this point. The only reason that is because they played less games, but we've only played 20. I know that. But like I said last year, when I jumped ship, I finally I feel good about this team. They give me a season to root for, and that's the only thing you can ask for.
They have a lot of capabilities about them. They're playing well. Will this continue? Yeah, I think it will. I think they're going to be a good team. They're not a contending team, don't get me wrong, but they are a team that we pointed out in the past is going to be a pain in the backside to many of their opponents in the American League, well, in Major League Baseball for that matter. The Royals have a big weekend series coming up, and this will be a telltale series. For the second time this year, they're playing Baltimore, only this time the games are in Kansas City. Baltimore Orioles are very strong. They have an outstanding baseball team. They should be. They were in contention last year, got knocked out in the playoffs. They're going to be around in the playoffs this year as well. They're that good. And they have Matt Holliday's son playing at second base, Jackson Holliday, and the worry is here. He hasn't gotten off to a great start, but he is a magnificent talent, and when he does explode, watch out. He's going to be awfully tough. Anyway, that's who the Royals play this weekend, the Baltimore Orioles.
The Royals, last but not least, we do have some college baseball action to talk about this weekend, don't we?
Both the Bears and Drury will be on the road, and for the Bears, this is a very significant series. They're playing Valparaiso over in that community in northern Indiana. What makes it significant is the Bears have to sweep this series. Right now, Missouri State does not qualify for the Missouri Valley Conference tournament coming up in just about 3 weeks to a month. Well, they need to beat Valparaiso and need to whip them and come away with the sweep of this series, because the rest of the schedule is not that easy and the Bears are under 500. So it's a big one for the Bears at Valparaiso. Drury, which has been playing very well, goes to Rockhurst up in Kansas City, takes on the Rockhurst Hawks for the second time this season. Drury's had a big series against them down here in town. Look for Scott Nasby's team to continue to play well. They're good.
Ned, you have a wonderful weekend, and I will see you on Monday.